Welcome to Special Sauce, Serious Eats podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we talk to some of the leading lights of American culture, food folks and non-food folks alike. What makes a New York slice a New York slice?
Gas oven.
Thin crust. It's crisp, yet flexible.
Low moisture mozzarella.
Tomato sauce and cheese, but they're in balance, and they're in balance with the crust.
Served on a paper plate, but the slice is bigger than the plate.
Scott Wiener and Adam Kuban are back to talk about pizza in New York and elsewhere. Adam is the founding editor of the seminal food blog, Slice.com. Scott Wiener is the founder of Scott's Pizza Tours. Let's talk about the state of the slice. You know, I wrote that story in the Times about the state of the slice in 2002. And the three of us have been working on a state of the slice post for Serious Eats. And we're taking it quite seriously, I might add. We had Adam's car to avail ourselves of. So Adam and Scott and I, we did one day in Brooklyn where we hit 10 or 11 pizzerias. In Queens, we hit another 10 or 11. And then and of course, Scott is hitting in a given month 50 pizzerias, right? Probably.
Probably, yeah.
And I've been doing a lot of Manhattan stuff, especially on the new places. What is the state of the slice?
One observation that I have about what's been going on now is that so much of the best pizza in the city has been coming from a new generation of pizza makers who have no connection to pizzerias in their past. They're not handed down in their family, and they're not somebody who learned their recipe from somebody else. They're people who are taking it upon themselves to figure out how to do it and do it right. And I think some of the top slices in New York right now are made by those people.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad you said that, because one of the things that Adam and you and I experienced, we went to every old school slice place that anyone had ever told us about, right? Everyone. We went to the ones in Bay Ridge. We went to the ones in Diker Heights. We went to the one in Park Slope. We went to, obviously, we went to L&B Spumoni Gardens. We went to all these places. And yet we found, at least in my opinion, that the best slices were made by these new school of slice makers that respect the slice, love the idea of selling slices, and see it as an opportunity to elevate it, not in a chefy way, but just to make it more delicious.
Yeah, maybe in a way to bring it back to what they see as its former glory.
What did you perceive, Adam, when you got here as to where the slice was at?
Oh, that's tough, because I came here from immediately before this from Oregon,
right,
and Kansas City before that, where I grew up, and we had no slice culture. I love thin crust pizza, so when I got here, I was like, God, this is heaven. Like, I ate pizza. I always like to say that the first 6 months I was here, I probably ate a slice every day because I could. I didn't have anybody. I didn't have my mom looking after me, telling me not to. I had my own money because I got a job now. Late at night, 2 a.m., I could eat a slice. So, but eventually I burned out on it. And then once I burned out on it, the next time I ate slice again, I was like, what? What did I think was so good about this? This is like rubbery cheese.
No, because slices had gotten bad.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think about it. They were dollar slices. There were slices on every corner made by people who were giving customers what they could live with. And it was a cheap lunch. It was a fairly cheap business, to your point, to set up. And so I think what was left behind was knowledge. What really went into a good slice?
Yeah, and I think that gets part of that gets left behind through the generations, because as the next generation would take over, it was sort of the process without the knowledge of why the process was happening. And so I wasn't around while the slices may have been at their peak. I don't know. But, you know, the slices that I was eating or have been eating, most of the time they're just, you could tell what they were and that they've sort of lost their edge.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's go down the elements. First of all, what makes a New York slice a New York slice?
Thin crust.
Okay.
It's crisp, yet flexible. It's got tomato sauce and cheese, but they're in balance, and they're in balance with the crust. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have too much sauce. You don't have too much cheese.
And there should be discrete areas of sauce and cheese, right?
Yeah, there should be.
Okay. Scott, what about you? What can you add to that definition?
To me, a New York slice is low-moisture mozzarella, gas oven, served on a paper plate, but the slice is bigger than the plate.
So made in a gas oven, cooked at basically the same temperature?
Yeah, 550 or so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, whatever gets you, what Adam said, the crunch yet flexible.
Right. And the cheese is low moisture. And to me, I actually don't want fresh mozzarella on my slice. I want slightly aged mozzarella because I want some saltiness.
Absolutely.
With fresh mozzarella, there's no tang, at least supplied by the cheese. You know, there's some acidity, there's creaminess, and there's a bunch of other things. But I know that's, you know, like purists say, oh, no, it's got to be fresh mozzarella. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, right? Low-moisture mozzarella is the cheese of the New York slice.
It should be off-white, almost yellow.
Yeah, it should be a little shiny. It should drip a little bit.
And for those following along at home, I'll clarify, low-moisture mozzarella, what we're talking about is just the stuff you get in the grocery store. It's like you'll often hear it, we'll call it aged mozzarella. It's only aged in as much as it's not fresh out of the cow and pulled into mozzarella.
Yeah.
So it's a polio or whatever else. I don't know what that
means. Sargento, Sorrento, yeah. Galbani, Grande.
There you go.
And all the elements that we've talked about have to be in harmony and in balance, right? That's also the key to a great New York slice. Like when I got to New York, the slice that everyone was talking about, I don't want to say this, was around the turn of the 20th century. No, it was the 70s. The slice everyone talked about was the Ray's at 6th Avenue and 11th Street. It was a disgusting slice of pizza, okay? Disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. If I said disgusting enough, there was probably 6 ounces of mozzarella on that slice. It was crazy. You could sleep on that slice if you didn't have a mattress.
Gross.
You know, but that was thought of as that was the thing, and it was completely out of balance. Like you didn't even see the sauce. The key to me is balance and ratio, you know, besides all the other things that you guys mentioned.
Right. Yeah. Well, we were just defining New York slice.
Right.
Good New York slice is different.
Right, right.
Like, you don't have to be good to be a New York slice.
Right,
I
right.
wish you were, but...
Yeah, it's true. I just had a pizza delivered from Corner Slice, which we all love. We just indulged in right before we got on mic. It's a fantastic slice of square pizza, I think. And I got one delivered the other day from Caviar, one of the delivery services. And it's, you know, it's a mile and a half from my house. Okay. So I know you guys are looking at me like, and you expected it to be good. So the pizza was delivered and it was so limp. Let's talk about what happens when you put a pizza in a pizza box. I mean, what happens? Nothing good.
Well, as much as I love pizza boxes,
right.
I do not like eating pizza out of boxes at all. Because you trap all the steam when the pie lands in that box and you close the lid. And it doesn't matter if you have vents on there or not. The steam's going to get trapped. And not only is it going to soggy your crust, but it's also going to break down the parts of that box, the recycled paperboard. And that's why you end up getting that cardboardy flavor on a delivered pizza.
It's funny because everyone says, oh, what's the ideal delivered food, pizza? It's like, actually, no, it's not the ideal delivered food. You probably don't even allow people can take the leftovers home at Margo's, but I assume that you're not making pizzas to go.
Well, Margo's, it's a pop-up I do at Emily and Clinton Hill. I don't know if we got to it in this episode yet, but I sell it. It's a ticketed pop-up, so people come, they buy tickets beforehand, they come on the given date and they sit down and they eat the pizza. So really it's kind of an experience more than like a place that you would just pop in and grab a pie to go. Although some people have taken them to go because, you know, they buy the tickets a week in advance and show up. Circumstances have changed for them and they are like, hey, I need it to go.
Got it.
So we make it to go for them. Honestly, if I were operating a pizzeria, I don't care. if you want,
yeah,
that's a revenue stream for me. If you want to buy my pizza and take it out the door, fine.
Right.
But I will tell you, it's not the great way to eat
for
the pizza. And I think Roberta's might have it. They have on the box like reheating instructions.
Yeah.
So what is the ideal way to reheat a slice of pizza?
Actually, I think Andrew Janjigian, if I'm pronouncing Janjigian, wrote about it on Slice, Serious Eats, years ago. It's basically you start with a cold pan, saute pan, hopefully with a lid. I don't know. Do saute pans have lids or saucepans? I don't know.
Right.
Ask Kenji. But you start with a pan with a lid big enough to hold the slice. Start with a cold, put it on low, put as it starts to heat up, put a few drops of water in there, and then put the lid on. The water helps to, I can't remember, he's got the science behind it on the post. But the water helps to re-moisturize the slice, and then putting the lid on creates a moist environment to help melt the cheese on the top.
I've tried that, but I keep, the water evaporates before the slices all heated, entirely heated. I've actually tried that, so I thought maybe there may be another way.
I heat up the pan first for about a minute, then I drop the slice on there, and after maybe 45 to 60 seconds, I'll flip the slice over so it's face down for maybe 10 to 20 seconds.
Not so it won't stick. Because
it's not going to stick. It's got all that cheese and oil and everything.
Right.
But what I like about it is that the fat from the low-moisture mozzarella burns off and crisps. Mm. And when I take the slice off, I can scrape that stuff off of the pan back onto the slice.
Wow, that's genius.
It's delicious. And then you just wipe the pan. You're fine.
That's like MacArthur Genius Award just territory. Like,
well, thank you very much. I'll accept this award. No, but it's just like, you know, because you want to do it quick and easy. My only issue with the wait a second, put two drops, then the lid, it's just when somebody's reheating a slice, they probably don't want to go through too many steps.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I usually just put it in the toaster oven, honestly, at like 300 degrees.
Do pizzerias store their leftover pies and slices overnight in a fridge and resell them when they open?
Not the good ones.
I've never seen it, but
I'm sure.
Well, I'm not in there in the morning to see what they do.
I've heard of some places, not in New York, but I've heard of some places that will bake pizzas, freeze them, and then just reheat. That's not, don't let that happen.
That's like bagging the popcorn at the end of the night that you don't sell in the movie theater and restock in the hopper.
Do you leave slices of pizza out overnight without throwing them in the fridge?
If I'm going to eat it the next morning, absolutely.
I do. But, you know, I've gotten a lot of shit from everybody who's ever worked at Serious Eats, Scott, about
That's why
this.
I never got a job at Serious Eats. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Wait, I don't understand. They don't want to leave the slice out?
No.
I don't want it to get refrigerator shock.
Right. So tell them. Whatever.
You can do what you want. You live your life.
All right.
If I know I'm going to eat the slice, if I know I'm eating it within the next 12 hours, it's not going in the fridge.
And what about this issue of freshness when it comes to slices? Can a commercial pizza oven get an older slice to the same place that a fresh slice gets to?
It's not going to be the same after the reheat, but that's sometimes part of the game. It's like toasting. You know, like sometimes you want a slice of bread and sometimes you want toast. They're different. It's not just like bready or bread. You know what I mean? So you got to know your pizzeria. If their fresh pies come out the way that you like it, great. But some places, you want the reheat.
Yeah.
You just got to know your place.
You know, one question that I've always had is, you know, when you get two pizzas and they bring that holder, you know, so you can stack pizzas essentially, or you can just put them up. Do you regard that as a sound invention?
Absolutely. When I'm at a pizzeria and I'm sitting there, I order and you're sitting there drinking your drinks, talking. When that stand comes out, usually that stand comes out about 3 to 5 minutes before your pizza comes. But you're sitting there, when you see them carrying the stand, you hope it's for your table. They put it on your table, you're like, yeah, my pizza's coming. And then the pizza comes. So absolutely, if I open a place, and God willing, I'm going to do it, I'm absolutely having stands, and that is part of the pizza theater. That's the stagecraft of
a
pizzeria, is the stand.
Oh, wait, Scott may have a different attitude.
No, I love that moment. It happens to me every day, and I love it more and more every day. My one hope is for Adam, for you, when you open, I know you're going to think of, I'm not even going to give you instruction here, but I just want pizzerias to think about those stands and how the customer interacts with them. Because so often I see stands that are not good at holding on the pie, and then they kind of whack them off there, and or the pizza's not cut right. So then as people try to jiggle the spatula under it, and then everything topples. So I have
no
you seen...
spatula.
No spatula.
Why do you need a spatula? Just grab it with your hands. I mean,
I'm with you on that.
Wait, you even have a term for grabbing it with your hands, for sliding it.
Oh, yeah, with the snag and drag.
Oh.
Well, just because I feel like, look, I, again, it's because I see this happen every day. When somebody grabs a slice from the tray, picks it up vertically so that the tip hangs down toward the core of the earth, everything falls off of it, and you're like, guys, think about it. If you bring your plate right up to the tray, drag the slice horizontally, it's all good. Anyway, have you seen the pizza stand at Nicoletta?
No. I may have, but I don't remember it. Genius?
It's crazy.
I love it.
Yeah.
What is it? So this is Michael White, the chef, the Italian chef.
Yeah.
It's Michael White's pizzeria on Second Avenue. And what makes it a distinctive stand?
Number one, it locks into the table. So the table's already got a little port in it that the thing locks straight in. Number two, it's magnetized. So when you put the tray onto it, it magnetizes onto the stand.
That's MacArthur genius stuff.
That is, seriously.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't
cool.
realize that, the magnetized.
It's
Wait,
so cool.
So what kind of pans are they? They must be putting like a steel pan or
That's,
like.
I guess so.
Because they're not putting aluminum
on
it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm telling you.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit in the time we have left about places in Brooklyn we went. So we went to a lot of the old school places, right? We went to Del Mar. We went to L&B. And you schooled me at L&B about what I consider to be uncooked dough. You call it the...
The gum line.
The gum line. And you explained to me that just because it looks like it's not cooked doesn't mean that it's actually not cooked. So explain that.
Right. So this is like a big pizza industry kind of buzzword kind of thing. When you take when you look at this cross section of a slice and you see that kind of grayish area underneath the sauce, that's could be undercooked dough.
Yeah.
And it could be improper fermentation or cold sauce and cheese that goes onto a dough, whatever it is. Uncooked. So what we did that day at L&B is I showed you how if you flip the slice upside down and then tear it from the underside of the crust toward the top.
You'll get a completely different experience.
Yeah. Then you're the problem that happens is when you slice that pizza, it pushes the tomato down into the crevice between slices, and that could give you the visual effect of undercooked dough.
Got it.
So by ripping it from the bottom up, you'll reveal if there really is undercooked dough.
This is some deep shit.
The, also, the undercooked dough will separate from the rest of the crust when you rip.
Yeah. But we like L&B, right? Mm-hmm. We still love L&B.
I love it. Yeah. Gummy or not.
You know, L&B has been around forever, and it has a few distinctive qualities, right? It's the sauce is put on first, right?
The cheese is
on first.
Cheese
put on first. And then the sauce, and they do have some cheese baked into the crust.
Oh, yeah. The pecorino.
And it's really good. It's really salty. We also liked a place in Park Slope called Luigi's.
Oh.
Right? That guy is totally old school. Nobody talks about it in the annals of great New York slices, but we really thought that slice was a damn good slice. You know,
it's a definitive slice.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It's the honest truth of New York pizza.
Yeah, and you know, we went to Del Mar, and then let's talk about DeFara. You know, he's a legend. You said something really interesting when we had our DeFara pizza, and his pizza has evolved. He's still the only one making pizza there, I think. But he doesn't have all the bells and whistles, and there's not as much theater. He's not snipping his own herbs. He's not using buffalo milk mozzarella anymore. But you said, you know what? You were going to cut him some slack because it's still a damn good piece of pizza, and he's still Domenico DeMarco, and he's been making pizza there for, you know, however many years.
Yeah, since 65. Yeah, I mean, he's... It's another thing that comes up every day for me is people ask about DeFara because it's the pilgrimage pizzeria of New York City.
Right.
It's going there and waiting in that line and the whole deal. But then the things that people talk about have become so much of legend Oh, exactly what you just said. Oh, I heard he's growing. People always say, I heard he's growing his own herbs in the window. And I don't think that was ever the case. He put a stack of dried oregano in the window in a thing.
It's a marketing ploy.
He had a rosemary plant just in the window at some
point. Yeah,
point.
I remember that. It was dead.
It probably was.
It did not look. And I do remember the first time I ever went and the theater was the real deal. And this is before I'd ever read anything about it. A friend told me to go, and he had the cassette tape of opera playing.
Oh, yeah.
And when the one side A ended, he walked slowly over to the cassette deck, opened it, flipped it, and then it didn't even have auto reverse. And he put it back in, and then boom.
That's awesome. And he was still, and I think he still is, he still was yanking all the pizzas with his bare hand.
Yeah, when he wants
to.
Yeah, he still does, which is kind of crazy. So we went to JMV, which was an old school, solid place, but not at the level, I think, of clearly some of the newer places we went to, right? Best Pizza in Williamsburg, started by a chef, you know, and he has added his own touches, right? It's a very light slice. It's not, doesn't he use some Romano cheese on it? Or I can't remember. It's certainly salty. I don't know what gives it the saltiness.
There's definitely pecorino on the white slice.
Got it.
I think on the cheese slice, I don't think there is.
Got it.
But yeah, it's a great pizza.
It's really great pizza. You know, thin crust, but pliant. And I've never had a bad slice, even when it looks old.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting there. Aren't they using fresh mozz?
Yeah, he's making it in-house. But it's funny. It's the mozzarella that he's making is not I want to make sure I'm accurate here. He doesn't go through the process to the full extent that most cheese makers would, where they pull it into a ball and it's a high-moisture ball. He kind of roughly pulls it together and then lets it dry and then puts it into a ball, into a like plastic bag, and then rips it up, shreds it up.
Yeah.
A little different. But it is fresh made in-house.
And then a place that you told me about that I didn't know about, Lindustri.
Oh, yeah, Lindustri.
He's making it in these small ovens. He's an Italian dude.
Massimo,
And it was really good and not like any other slice I've ever had in New York. Talk about it, Scott.
Yeah, one of the things we're running into now is the sort of re-Italianization of pizza, and not in a way that says one way is right and one way is wrong. It's not an Italian machismo thing. It's more like this Italian guy making New York-style pizza, but in the way that he would do naturally. So, you know, his little ricotta dabs are more floral-looking. You know, he's got more fresh cured meat on top, or not fresh cured meat. He's got cured meats on top. It's just a really cool, good pie in a tiny 300 square foot space.
And those were the two best slices of pizza we had in Brooklyn, to me.
Adam, you got to Lindustri?
Yeah, we went when we went with Peter Reinhardt.
Right,
Peter Reinhardt, this famous pizza maker and bread baker, who was sort of a seminal pizza maker in the States, would you say? Or sort of the first bread baker / chef that was serious about pizza?
Well, after I read A Slice of Heaven, I read American Pie, Search for the Perfect Pizza.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he and I used to talk all the time. In Queens, we really didn't find any new school pizza that we loved, right? We went to Rizzo's for their distinctive thin crust square, or rectangle, I guess, with that strange single slice of mozzarella, of dry, of aged mozzarella, and a little bit of sauce. It is so minimalist, and they have a place in Manhattan, but it still kind of speaks to me.
Yeah, it's fun. It's got biscuity, dense crust.
It's a biscuity crust, it's true. And then we also went to a place that I think you guys might have liked a little bit more than I did. We went to Danny's House of Pizza in Kew Gardens. Mm-hmm. Wow, was that place. Kew Gardens.
So cool.
Oh, my God. It's like hurtling back in time. It's a real neighborhood, in an old-fashioned neighborhood in Queens. And you get off the subway, or maybe I got off the Long Island Railroad, and you're right there.
Yes, you did. Because remember, I didn't realize, and I go there all the time, I didn't realize that the Long Island Railroad goes under the building.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah. And it had a very sweet sauce, if I remember, right? He must add a lot of sugar to the sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing chefy about it, but there's it's a very satisfying slice of pizza.
Super satisfying. But when we talk about places like that, or when I talk about it with people on tours, they might say something like, "Oh, I don't like it. The sauce is so sweet." And it's like, if you don't like sweet sauce, a place like Danny's, you will never like that pizza.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's just it's a characteristic of it.
Right. Exactly.
Which is so that's the hard part about determining what slices are good and what are not. But
right.
Yeah.
Danny's right. Has got a characteristic.
And then we all like New Park in Howard mm-hmm. Beach.
Definitely.
Right near JFK, of course, will forever be linked to the gang that chased the African-American man onto the Belt Parkway, I believe.
Yeah.
They make a great slice.
Yeah.
It seems like the oven gets hotter. What kind of oven is that?
That's an old brick-lined oven that's got like a flamethrower inside. And I think it used to be a coal-fired oven that was just repurposed.
Mm. Got it.
They do that thing where they throw the salt on the floor of the oven every hour or two.
Really?
Yeah, so the underside of your pie like picks up little salt crystals.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And in Manhattan, which is a really interesting borough for pizza, you know, everyone rightfully loves Joe's. Joe's is still a remarkably consistent slice of pizza.
That's the word, yeah.
And it's the pizza that... If you talk to people either in Manhattan or out, and when their friends are coming in from out of town, they always say, go to Joe's. And even chefs, I remember all kinds of Italian chefs, like, that's where I go.
My late night slice. Open till 5 a.m.
Right. The original Joe's is on Carmine. I just found a Joe's on 14th and 1st or 14th and 2nd.
Yeah, right at the corner
of 3rd.
And
by the way, I tried a slice and it was very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they open one in Brooklyn, but that didn't work out?
Or no, it's still there.
It's still there?
On Bedford and North 5th in Williamsburg. And there's one right
Times
by
Times Square now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's one in Times Square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one in Shanghai.
Oh, nice.
That's weird. So great.
Yeah.
And also, we all love our friend Joe's at Pizza Suprema. Remember, yeah. Adam remembers our first office was at 27th and 7th, and we used to call, and because I put Joe in Slice of Heaven, you know, it was like, Joe, okay, we need this much pizza, and, you know, and no matter what we ordered, he'd send 5 pies, and, and, you know, we'd have to just tip the hell out of the delivery man because he wouldn't accept any money.
Yeah.
Even now when I go in, I like seeing him, but sometimes like I hope he's not here because I want to actually pay and I don't want to I don't want him to feel like I'm taking advantage of him because he will not take my money when I go if he sees me.
Right. Yeah. But another sweet sauce that he swears doesn't have sugar, but we know it does. And it's delicious and really, you know, high quality, probably grande age mozzarella.
Yeah, it is.
That's a really fine slice of pizza. But then Manhattan has the place we just talked about, Corner Slice, which is very chefy and uses all kinds of cheese, but is a feather-light piece of square pizza. To me, that is a phenomenal slice. I don't know what you guys think of it.
Yeah, I love it. The crust is fragrant and has a crunch, but it's light in the inside.
And then a place you told me about, you told me about, Scott, is a place called Scars, a guy who used to make pizza at Lombardi's. And the first time I walked in, thanks to you, he's like, I know you, man. You're Ed Levine. It's like
second time you ever got spotted.
Right, right.
First time was Adam.
Right.
It's
like, you're Ed Levine. It's like, you used to come into Lombardi's all the time when I made pizza there. And he's milling some of his own flour. I mean, that's crazy. And that pizza is delicious. Although I did have a slice of Sicilian that was just too crusty. It was just, it tasted stale. Almost.
He's always changing the Sicilian. Like, that's why I always eyeball it before I order it. But the regular pie is
phenomenal.
Key.
Yeah. Have you been to Scars?
I've been to Scars once. I need to get back.
Yeah. It's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And then
the
place that you and I have talked about briefly, but we didn't go to together, is called Fiori's.
Oh, yeah.
Fiori's a very solid Staten Island-derived slice, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's sort of an homage to the Joe and Pat's style.
Right. describe what a Joe and Pat's slice is.
Thin, flat crust all the way to the edge and discrete cubes of low-moisture mozzarella rather than shredded with full coverage.
Yes, it's very minimalist. And sometimes the pizza's been lying around way too long because I'm not sure how much volume they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're up two blocks from Joe's.
Yes, so for sure.
That's a place that I like the reheat at Fiore's better than the fresh.
Really?
But at Joe's, I like the fresh better than the reheat.
Interesting. And then a place that I think Adam turned me on to that is my savior because they'll almost deliver to me, and that's a place called Mama's 2.
Yeah, I finally went. Did I tell you?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I finally went twice.
Yeah?
Two days in a row.
So that's an interesting place because his family owns a generic or worse slice place on 106th and Amsterdam called Mama's. And then he decided he wanted to make serious pizza, so he opens a place called Mama's 2 on
T-O-O.
Yes.
T-O-O.
Like Luke who's talking.
On 105th and Broadway, where both the Neapolitan slice and the square slice are excellent. Great ingredients. He obviously knows what he's doing, and it's a godsend. It's a couple of blocks north of
Sal and Carmine's,
which I have a soft spot in my heart and will always have a soft spot because I used to go when it was just Sal's on 95th and Broadway in the 70s. That's how old I am, gentlemen. If you talk to anyone who lives on the Upper West Side, they swear by that place. You know, but I don't think we'd put it in our slice pantheon now at this point.
Our discussion always comes back to there are neighborhood slices and destination slices.
Right, right. How far are you willing to travel?
Yeah.
Like I would travel for Mama's 2. I would travel for Corner Slice. I would probably even travel for Joe's. And then in the Bronx, we haven't been together, but we've all been individually many times. There's a place called Louie and Ernie's in the Throsnick section of the Bronx, right? And we all have a soft spot. What do we love about Louie and Ernie's?
Sausage.
Sausage.
I mean, but I got to say, I posted a picture on Instagram of the sausage slice. Every comment was about how it looked like cat shit.
Come on.
And now I can't. No, but I looked at the picture and kind of did, but it tasted so good. It's a great
cheese
slice.
Is solid.
With a little bit of cornmeal on the underside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little texture.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they put a little pinch of black pepper in the center.
Yeah.
So your first bite has it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And on Staten Island, we did reference Joe and Pat's, which is a favorite of all of ours. The slice is enjoying a renaissance, right? Because our friend Pauly G is going to eventually open his long-awaited Pauly G slice place. What neighborhood is that?
It's in Greenpoint. It's right around the corner from Pauly G's.
Oh, it is? I didn't know that was still Greenpoint.
Yeah, right, it's right on Franklin.
The pictures on Instagram look great.
They look insane.
I've read like at least three articles about pizza in New York that mention his slice shop that's not even open yet. That's not even finished yet. It doesn't even have a floor.
And then Joe and Pat's opened in Manhattan, right? And
I haven't. But it's not by the slice.
Oh, it's not by the slice.
I don't think they do it by the slice.
That's sad. And then DeFara's opened up a second place in Williamsburg, which I haven't been to. I've seen pictures. They look pretty good. Not the same, but pretty good. And then did De Nino's open in Manhattan?
Yeah, I'm on McDougal.
But that's not a slice place, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So would the slice ever become ubiquitous outside the pizza belt?
I don't think pizza by the slice is going to make waves anywhere else. And if it hasn't by now, it's not going to become a big thing elsewhere. And that's why people love to say things like, oh, how come I can't get good pizza in L.A. or Boston? And what they're saying is that they can't get pizza by the slice. And it's not because of something about the ingredients. It's just about the way that people eat food.
Let's talk about this whole thing that came out of Saturday Night Fever, which was folding slices. You know, the way he folded two slices so he could eat two slices at once. First of all, how do you feel about folding pizza?
I'm not a fan.
Why?
I mean, you've got a pizza where it's crust, sauce, cheese. So you're biting down on cheese first. You fold it. You've just made it a sandwich.
Right.
Now you're eating
now it's
crust
a stuffed
and crust.
Pizza. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me like there's so much going on in pizza in New York. bar pies, Detroit pizza. I've noticed there are all these Detroit slice places that I haven't tried. And of course, you know, Emily has put Detroit pizza on our minds when we're in New York, and it's good.
Yeah, Detroit pizza is a pan-baked Sicilian pizza that's topped with cheese before sauce, and the cheese runs directly up to the edge of the pan so that when it bakes, the cheese tends to burn around the perimeter of the pie. And it's served normally by the whole pizza and more recently available by the slice in some places.
We should say it's rectangular shaped. And, of course, the famous ones in Detroit or the seminal ones were Buddy's and Cloverleaf.
Yeah, Buddy's, Cloverleaf, Louie's.
And they still exist.
Yeah, still there.
And I barely covered it in Slice of Heaven.
Because it wasn't, at that time, it was just pizza.
And actually, a Detroit chef friend of mine shipped me slices yeah. from Buddy's.
Right after the book came out?
No, before. It's crazy.
Well, it's funny. It was such a sleeper. That stuff's been around since mm-hmm. the 40s, and I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I blame Adam because he never wrote about it on Slice. I'm just kidding.
No, it's true. We didn't really write about it much.
No.
The first time I had it was, ironically, Domino's flew me out to their corporate headquarters. Pizza Hut, you still need to have me because I've been to Domino's and Papa John's.
Oh. Hilarious.
Domino's flew me out to their corporate headquarters for like some kind of pizza contest they're having where people could submit their topping combos,
right.
And I was a judge in that. Then we got the tour of the Domino's facility, which was fascinating, by the way. But at night, when we were free to go back to our hotel, I rented a car for like, or maybe it was a zip car. I don't remember.
It took a half hour.
And I
hour.
Drove to Buddy's.
That's like, awesome.
Yes, so.
You know, he once called me after New York Eats came out and just left a message on my phone, my home phone. If you're the Ed Levine that wrote New York Eats, will you call Tom Monahan? I was like, okay, who's playing a joke on me? So I call him. And he goes, yeah, somebody gave me your book. Like, it was the best book about food I've ever read. Will you help us make sandwiches at Domino's? So he flew me out to Ann Arbor. It was so weird.
Whoa.
Like the whole thing was so intense.
Wow.
And I ended up doing a little bit of consulting for Domino's.
Wow.
What a long, strange you trip it's been.
The lava cake.
I created the lava cake. But where do you think pizza in general, do you think it's just there's an infinite capacity for new and good pizza in New York of all kinds?
I think that there's a heightened interest right now in exploring the boundaries now that mm-hmm. we've sort of, the floodgates have opened with things like Detroit style becoming accepted. Remember when only a couple of years ago when articles were being published about, oh, will New York accept a different city style? They rejected Chicago, but now what about this? And, you know, there's new stuff in the pipeline that's going to be opening that's not traditional New York style. And I think it's,
yeah.
Awesome. I think that I'm shocked that New York still is ready for more.
Yeah.
But at this point, I've been convinced. So it's like, all right, let's go.
Does Detroit have a chance of spreading?
It already has. It's
yeah.
huge, big time. At the pizza magazines are covering it all the time.
Really?
And at the trade shows, there are seminars and lectures all about it. I mean, that's just a way you can see what's going to happen in the industry is where are all the pizza makers, what are they thinking about? And they've
right.
all got Detroit on the mind.
And now with people like our friend Anthony Falco, who's this pizza consultant, and there were all these stories recently about, wow, there's something called a pizza consultant. And yes, it's a cool thing. And Anthony's a really good pizza maker. And he made his name at Roberta's. One of the results of there being pizza consultants is that Anthony Falco is helping people make great pizza all over this town.
All over the world.
The world.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy who likes good pizza, and he doesn't care what it's called. He likes good pizza that's made well and with thought.
Right.
And so now that he's being hired around to work with other restaurants, it's in a way better place than when people used to hire consultants, which have been around for decades.
Right.
But the consultants used to say, oh, well, let's see, what's your margin going to be on this? How should we reorganize
right.
your menu? This is an easier way to dumb it down.
Right, and he's got standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's, as you say, it's all over. Anthony's is consulting on pizzerias in São Paulo and, in Singapore. And it really does speak to the universal appeal of pizza, which sort of takes us back to the beginning of these discussions, which is kind of awesome. So thank you so much for sharing your special sauce with us, Scott Wiener and Adam Kuban. If you're at all interested in pizza, you must go on one of Scott's pizza tours. And if you want to eat a lot of great pizza for a good cause, we didn't get the chance to talk about your fantastic charity event called Slice Out Hunger.
Right.
Where you raise, $50,000 by having pizzerias make a lot of pizza that all gets delivered to one place and then people can buy it for $1 a slice. And all the proceeds, right, go to fight hunger in New York.
Exactly. So, all the great places.
That's awesome. And if you love pizza, snag a spot at one of the monthly Margo's Pizza pop-ups. But act fast. How fast, Scott? We're talking
maybe 30 12 seconds.
30 seconds. And look for our collective effort on Serious Eats as we explore in glorious detail the state of the slice in New York in 2018. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. And we'll see you next time, Serious Eaters.